Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Lioness Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Leanne.
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Steph.
And today we're going to talk about astrology. And it's a big subject and we're not professionals or anything, but we do enjoy ourselves a bit of astrology. And
just a bit.
We do probably bring it up in conversation every single day, for sure. But it's such a big and broad subject. So we are just going to go over the basics of what we know, maybe dip into the signs, maybe a little toe into the houses. But yeah, we're just going to talk what we know astrology-wise. So if you're new to astrology, this would be interesting. Or if you already know astrology quite well, you might also learn a few new things because everybody's got their own perspective. So, well, there's the sun signs. That's, well, the obvious thing.
That's what most people know.
Yeah. And just
the horoscopes that you can get in the shitty magazines.
Yeah. We are talking about Western astrology for this podcast, just so that you're aware. But yeah, like you'll find in newspapers, magazines at the back, they normally have a horoscope for the week or the month.
Yeah.
And that would be
Mystic Meg.
Yeah, classic from the 90s. We love a bit of Mystic Meg. But
so most people know their sun sign.
Yeah, so that's your sun sign and that's like
based on your birthday.
Yeah, so your birthday. Yeah. And that's where the sun was on the day of your birth.
Yeah.
So where was that in the sky? Would it be in the constellation of Aries or would it be the constellation of Capricorn? And that's how you would know your sun sign. And that's pretty much how astrology works, right? So it's like when you're born, where were all the planets in the sky when in that moment that you were born? And it goes down not just your birthday, but we also bring in the birth time as well to get a more accurate reading. And that's why having a full birth chart will resonate a lot more with each individual than, say, just the sun sign, just the horoscope.
Yeah.
Because
it's more, because everyone's so individual, it more goes really into exactly who you are.
Yeah, because we're not just 12 personality types. Mm-hmm. We're much more complex than that.
And you can actually go online now and, there's loads of generators.
Yeah, online calculators.
They'll calculate your whole chart for you, basically, just putting your date of birth and your time.
Yeah, the same with the numerology.
It's so easy now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really, but it's easy to find out.
There is the maths. You can do the maths. There's lots of books where you can
give you a super in-depth reading. They're like a real
astrologer.
Professional astrologer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would probably be the best thing to do, but I'm just saying that.
But if you have
you don't
a general
have to pay and you're just interested, just look it up on Google.
I feel like you can do a lot yourself.
That's
you can learn a
lot.
Been
doing. Yeah. That's how we've been teaching ourselves, is looking at our own charts and reading about it.
I definitely think there's space for intuition as well when it comes to interpreting things. So, like, if you know the energies that are held within, say, the sign of Gemini, and then you know maybe someone has a certain planet, that planet has its own energies. So then you can sort of use your intuition of combining those energies and what that could mean, you know? So that's where you do get varied meanings for placements, you know, because I do think it's what it can resonate with different people differently.
Yeah, definitely.
So I guess we've spoke about the sun sign. That's the main one that everybody knows. And we know that sun rules, do we know what sun rules? The sun rules one sign.
One sign?
Yeah.
Leo.
Yes. So the sun rules Leo. And Leo is, we're all Leos, that's obvious.
We're,
we're called
suns.
The Lioness Podcast. But the sun rules Leo, and Leo is rules, how would you say it rules the house, the fifth house, or would you say it's home is the fifth house?
Home,
yeah.
Yeah, that makes more sense. So it's home to the fifth house, and then we have the sun in there as well. And yeah, that's that for the sun. The
second planet.
The second
you refer to, is it usually the moon?
The moon, I would say, yeah. So
I suppose that's the closest. Is that how you do it?
Yeah.
So, and the moon is ruled by Cancer. So do they go in order of maybe?
Yes, yeah, so the moon is ruled by Cancer. And they are the only two signs. They're the only two planets that rule one sign. So the sun rules Leo, the moon rules Cancer, and all the other planets rule more than one sign.
Oh, okay.
So the moon only rules one place. The sun only rules one place.
Leanne and Steph definitely know a lot more than
and
me.
And that's what's so fun about astrology is that whoever you talk to, we all have a different perspectives and different knowledge on the subject. So it's such a fun topic.
I like learning from you guys.
Yeah, it's such a fun topic because
others don't.
You can tell people about themselves. Me and Steph are very good at that, you know, getting into conversation with new people and sussing out their charts pretty quick.
Yeah, we're just nosy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just does sure. it to the customer.
Yeah. So does Steph now.
Yeah, get us in trouble.
Yeah. So, yeah, the moon is ruled by Cancer. And we forgot to mention, sorry, about the sun and Leo, that is a fire sign. So Leo is a fire sign, which makes the sun a masculine planet. And the sun and moon is counted as a planet in astrology, just to be clear, in case people are like, that's not a planet.
Okay.
In astrology, it is. They're in the planet sector.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
and all,
it's masculine, the
all
sun.
All the signs have a element that they're associated with.
Yes, exactly, Kelly. Good for bringing that up because I almost forgot that what would be sun is fire. Leo is a fire sign.
Cancer is a water sign. And
it's so then the sun is masculine and then the moon is feminine. Okay. So there's the feminine energies behind Cancer. That makes sense if you understand Leo and Cancer signs and their meanings. So then we can move on to say, I would say Mercury is probably another main, is a top planet.
That panics everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, retrograde.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In that sense, it does. It's the fastest moving planet. So it goes.
Is the fastest moving planet.
Yeah. It goes retrograde a lot more than the others.
It goes like 4 times a year or something.
Yeah. Do you want to explain a little bit about Mercury retrograde as we've brought it up, Steph?
Essentially, a retrograde is, they say when it's like a planet going backwards, rotating, but it's not, it just sort of, it slows down and it is kind of...
It doesn't slow down, it just appears that way because it's the fastest moving planet, but when it's at a certain point, it looks like it's moving backwards because of other movement in, I don't know, something like that.
People, yeah. Mercury is about communication, so when that goes retrograde, you know, a lot of miscommunication does occur.
Yeah.
And, you know, communication via technology. So a lot of technology breaks and everyone panics like it's the end of the world. It's really not that big of a deal. It may not even affect you. It depends where it is in your chart.
Mm.
So by looking at your chart, you can see, you know, when any planet goes retrograde, how that's all, you know, when the moon is in a certain planet, how that's going to affect you. That's why it's also really cool to study your chart.
Different
types
of energy, because then you can put different intentions out. If you know whether, like, when something's going into retrograde, there's certain things that you can be aware of.
Like, don't sign contracts.
Yeah, exactly. To make things go more smoothly in the period.
Yeah, maybe don't take a massive trip. Or I say that, I'm taking a massive trip on Mercury retrograde at the end of this month. Yeah, Mercury goes retrograde while I'm on holiday.
Max did as well. Nothing happened.
Yeah, and so did Kelly, so I'm not freaking out about
it. And the thing is to, just don't make too many plans, just take it as it comes. You know?
And it can also bring good energies. It could be the Mercury retrograde could almost be what you need. It's a breather. It's a time to just not be forced a driving force, you know.
Review. Exactly. It's all the re-words. It's re-evaluating. Yes. Review, step. You know.
Yeah.
It's recharge.
Just, yes. Yes. Yeah. So Mercury in general, Steph already mentioned, it rules the mind and communication and technology. I really like the planet Mercury. I think it tells a lot about people. So Mercury rules the sign of Gemini and Virgo. Oh.
Gemini.
And it's...
That's us.
So Gemini is an air sign and Virgo is an earth sign. So it's a dual element.
Oh, interesting.
And so I would say that Mercury, for me, I always think Gemini when I think of Mercury, more so than Virgo. And I'm not sure that's a personal thing for me. But there you have these signs are very good examples of being in the mind. Virgo, you're very organized. They plan, they think ahead. They're very calculating. Geminis are very sociable. Pardon, talkative. Yeah, sociable, competitive, ambitious, fast, quick at everything, quick to start, quick to give up, they're very good with technology. They're big information storers. I find both Geminis and Virgos are good readers, like can take in, even if you're not a great reader, you can just take in a lot of information in some form and store it and then relay that back to other people. They're awesome at that. That's the air there. But also Virgos are just very good at absorbing information as well. So that's all very much the mind, very Mercury. So then this can, learning the planets alongside the signs and then the energies of all can really help you understand astrology. So the next sign, planet, I guess we can talk about would be Venus.
Venus.
Mercury, I think, is, again, masculine. Or is it neutral? I cannot remember.
I don't know.
We won't mention that.
I'm not very good with the whole masculine feminine.
But I do know that Venus is feminine.
Yeah.
Sounds masculine.
Venus is feminine.
No, the other one.
Oh, right. I know, Mercury, yeah. It's either masculine or neutral. I just can't quite remember.
That's not important.
So then Venus. Everyone loves Venus. Venus is beautiful things.
Women are from Goddess Venus.
Yeah. Venus
men
is...
are from Mars.
That's the classic. It almost is, it seems that way though, when you look at the energy planets, you have a lot of the feminine traits in Venus and a lot of the masculine traits that you see play out in human men and women. You
but
see that in those two planets more than the sun and the moon, even, I would say. There's a real strong feminine masculine aspect.
I think that's why it's been portrayed in by that book as well. But also, we know that Mars was inhabited before they had their nuclear
By masculine energies, the Martians.
Indeed.
Okay. So what's your feelings on Venus? Like, would you have any feelings? Both of you are Venus in Cancer.
It's to do with love, isn't it? Venus.
Love. Venus is relationships with other people, love, compassion. And beautiful things, luxuries, the high life.
The finer things in life.
Yes. And then we can come to the sign, as you mentioned, the finer things in life. Who is one of the most materialistic of...
Taurus?
Yes, Taurus. Taurus are super materialistic. And, of course, Venus is at home in Taurus, yes.
Oh, no, it's associated with Taurus, sorry.
Is ruled by Taurus. Venus rules Taurus, and Venus also rules Libra, who also love the finer things in life. Yeah. Libra love beauty. Libra love beautiful people, beautiful things. It's beautiful art. Steph here is a Libra rising. She can...
I've got
vouch.
A lot of Libra in my chart.
Yeah, you do.
Too much Libra.
And you do love the finer things in life.
I do.
There's no shame in that.
No, see, it's Libra's not.
There's no shame in that.
It took me a long time to admit that because, you know, everyone's like, oh,
it's
so shallow,
it's just,
you know?
The programming and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I have the same.
I'm not afraid anymore. I'm like, yeah, I want to have
yeah,
nice things.
Yeah, I don't want the shitty things in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deal with it. As long as I,
yeah, you go,
you know, get it on my own.
Yeah,
and I'm happy with that.
And it's also like, why shouldn't you? You know, it's that whole, you know, just
who's going to recognise the beauty if they don't?
Yeah, but beauty deserves comfort.
And beauty's in the eye of the beholder, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, just because I find something beautiful and somebody else doesn't.
Doesn't matter. Or if you care more about beauty, that's just
yeah.
one of your aspects.
Yeah.
And that's what you're supposed to be.
And then you also see with Libra, they have the very the scales, the being fair with the even balance between the yin and the yang. They are
the mediator, maybe.
Yeah, the complete mediator. They're not forceful with their desires and stuff. Even Taurus. Taurus is very different to Libra, but they both share that fondness for the finer things
it's
in
like
life.
Similar energies,
yeah,
coming from the sort of same planet.
I would say Taurus is coming from a more stubborn, my way or the highway approach,
more rigid.
And Libra is
more
like,
fluid.
Oh, you know, I just want everyone to be happy, but just make sure I get my pretty stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So. It's like that, they're similar but very different. But it's the Venus that shares the similarities with those signs. And then, should we move on to the next sign, which is Mars?
Planet,
yep, Kelly.
Mars. Yes.
Mars. So Mars rules Aries.
Aries. And
Scorpio.
What would be Scorpio?
And Aries is. Fire element, and Scorpio is from water element, which I always find surprising. It's still to this day, I find it, it's
emotionally, and it's a darker kind of emotion.
Yeah,
than
no,
than
I totally get
it.
To I
don't know many Scorpios. Really.
No, I totally get the energy,
yeah.
But at first glance, you don't. When you think of water, you think of Pisces
or
and Cancer.
The moonlight, it's the water.
Yeah,
know?
Like
it's like a darker water.
I think because you think about the animals as well, like a
Scorpio is not a water animal.
No,
that's what
it
is.
Sense,
it's death.
You know?
It's the animal.
It is.
It is.
You think,
and you
Aquarius,
think why is Aquarius
so
not water?
Yeah,
and he's pouring water.
Yeah.
So like you'd think Aquarius is water.
Yeah.
Right. Like
so
I always got those two switched.
Like the Scorpio's in a desert. You think it'd be
you'd
earthy.
Think it'd be air.
Yeah, yeah, like
air. Like with the windy
I feel like
desert.
It would be like even fire, like anything
dry
but
earth.
Water.
Just yeah, not water.
Yeah, just anything but water.
Even fire. It
I know.
Sting in
that's
what
I thought fire.
And they
yeah.
are quite like
yeah.
fiery. Almost.
Yeah, right.
It's a dark water, that's what I'm telling you. The dark water is
like,
very emotional.
No,
very,
I totally get it, but like audience, do you hear us? Like, do you also often get
Scorpio
mixed
energy,
up?
Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying what it is.
So with the Mars, and we can bring in the Aries and Scorpio energies that the Mars is representing in them, it is that stronger, more forceful, more darker, heavy masculine energy.
What is Mars the placement of? Anger and sex.
Yeah, so passion as well. So anger,
yeah.
Passion and sex.
Those sort of hard-hitting.
Aggressive and forceful energies.
Yeah.
But also like... Cause if
but
you think
intense
of,
as well,
but it
not
can
necessarily
still be,
bad.
No, it can still be good because if you think of passion...
Love and sex.
Yeah,
and
but
sex
passion
good,
is...
Passion can be good, yeah.
Yeah, passion is forceful and... forward going, but it's a great energy.
Yeah.
It's like one of the best energies in the world, passion, driven
seems
by
like
Mars.
A very creative energy.
Oh, it's really creative.
Yeah.
So then where you're going to see the energies play out in the signs is in Aries, it comes very in your face. Yeah.
The
Aries and the Mars energy comes through Aries, like really in your face. They often the people who will act before they think, speak before they think. They're very selfish if you think numerology, number one. But they're also the leaders. So they're like fearless. So they're not like selfish as in all bad, because you need to be a bit selfish sometimes to come up with solutions to lead the people. So they can, that can go either way. Then you'll see the Mars energies playing out a little different in Scorpio, because it's very held back. So you will feel the energy more on an energetic level than seeing and hearing it with your eyes yourself, you know. The
it's
Scorpio
a bit of a darker energy. It's not forceful, but it's quite powerful still.
It comes out more in Scorpio in more of a dominating nature, whereas the Aries I would say is more leader like. The Scorpio is more domineering and
more
controlling, much more mature. Kelly, I always think of, when I think of the energies of Aries, I think of the tarot card The Fool. And I don't even know if they astrologically match up or anything, but it is that, like, that young going into the world. Aries often have like really great bodies as well, or they at least very into physical activity of some kind, depending on the rest of their chart, obviously. And then Scorpios, like, they're like the dark horse, you know, and they, like, I would say they have, if we're going to say a negative trait, I always like trying to scoot around the negative traits, but like one of the very obvious negative traits of Mars that comes out in Scorpio is jealousy. And that also does come out in Aries as well. But whereas I would say Aries sign is very sort of like gets bored easily, and I want it, I chase it,
I've got it,
finished with it, goodbye, on to the next thing. A Scorpio is, I want it, it's mine and you're never letting me go, you know, never, till death do part, like that. You see how they're very similar but very different, how the planet plays out,
they're
similar
committed
but differently in different signs. So that's, and then we also mentioned that with the water and fire play into the Mars energy. So they're at home. And when we, what we haven't mentioned about, okay, so what's the benefits of each planet having a home sign? The benefits are that, say, in your chart, if you have a Mars in its home sign, it's going to be a lot more happier. Yeah, it's going to behave a lot better. So when it's in the sign of Scorpio or Aries, it's going to enhance in positive ways. It's not going to debilitate your planet, But then if you was to go put that Mars in Cancer, it's going to really wash it down, you know. With that feminine moony Cancer energy, it's going to
really,
so really debilitate
changes the
Mars
energy depending on its placement.
Exactly.
So
that's why every
so
home of the planet, that's why we're discussing why each planet belongs to a sign, so that you can see how it will behave when it's shifted out of that sign.
So did you do all the planets?
No, I just wanted to mention that because it's something I should have probably mentioned at the beginning. I don't have all the signs on my list here, but I'll have to search them in a sec. All the planets. So the next planet that we should talk about is the biggest one, and probably is it? It's one of my favorite planets. Is it yours?
Jupiter.
The big Jupiter, big boy.
Bad boy. Of,
well, he's not the bad,
no, he's not
boy.
The bad
he's
the
good boy.
He's a good boy. Of good
hey,
luck.
Good boy.
A good boy of good luck.
I don't think I've heard much about
he's
Jupiter.
Big. It's the biggest planet. And what does he do? He expands wherever he is. So that's a really good way to remember what Jupiter does in your chart.
Expansion.
It expands it. So if it's in, if it was in the sign of Leo, it's going to expand those Leo traits. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. If it's in the house, so the houses, which we haven't discussed, but the houses, they are about the different sectors of life. Is that what you say? Or the different stages that you go through of life. So you have relationships, you have careers and home life, health. All the houses represent all these different stages of life. So then if you were to put Jupiter in the fourth house, then your attention will be very much on the home, because the fourth house rules the home, and it would expand everything going on in the home in a positive way. Yeah, it would make you more drawn to wherever Jupiter is, because you would expand that. I have Jupiter in my 10th house, in the 10th house in this sign of Gemini. Yeah, so it expands my career. So house of career, 10th house, house of career, the house of being seen.
We're not on the
houses
yet. We're just doing.
So all I'm saying is Jupiter. Yeah, it expands wherever it is. And Jupiter is ruler of Sagittarius and Pisces. Sagittarius is a fire sign. Pisces is a water sign. Have you girls got anything to say more about Jupiter?
I don't know much about Jupiter.
I think it's
expansive.
Yeah, it's positive as well. Like, it's got
listening.
Yeah, so it basically, if Jupiter is somewhere in your chart, wherever Jupiter is, you're gonna have good luck there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna. Things will go easy. Jupiter makes things easy. Like, oh, she's a natural. You know, she's a natural at rollerblading. She just got on them and she's rolling. Yeah. No, she didn't fall over once. Yeah, Jupiter's probably in that house of whatever rules rollerblading. So, really lame example. But I literally could think
rules
of, it's the first thing that came into my head. So then it makes sense. We'll move on to the next planet, Saturn. Which,
Daddy Saturn.
Yeah, Saturn does the opposite, basically, doesn't it, Steph? So tell us what you think of Saturn, guys.
Saturn is like a father figure. So it's if you think like a stern, traditional, old-fashioned father, he's very restricting. So wherever he is in your chart, he's going to cause a struggle. He's going to restrict you. And it's just really annoying.
So
I really don't like Saturn.
What signs are in Saturn?
So in Saturn, it's the ruler of Capricorn and Aquarius.
Mine's actually in its... Mine's in Aquarius.
Oh, so there you are. That's
in its home.
Quite
in
nice.
Its
home, it's going to be happier there than it would be in a lot of other places.
Interesting.
And so Capricorn is earth, Aquarius is air. And it really does restrict. And it promotes like structure. Saturn is like the ruler of like everyday tasks. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I've got to go to work because I've got to pay my bills. Saturn rules all that boring stuff as well. Saturn is like, pay your taxes, you know. Saturn is like...
really annoying.
Yeah.
Saturn will test you as well. So wherever Saturn is, it's going to slow. So you know, like, yeah, like, you know, if Jupiter's in the house, it speeds everything up.
Yeah.
If Saturn's in the house, it slows everything down. It makes it much harder. That's where you're going to find a lot of your
challenges.
Your biggest challenges would be where your Saturn is.
It's cool. Good to know.
Mine's in the fifth house, so that's like relationships and sex.
And the house of recreation and fun and children.
Yeah. It's in its home, though.
That's what I mean. It's ruining everything.
Yeah.
That's why my life is in pieces.
Yeah.
That's why you can't just have fun.
So, guys, if you
don't know what's
going
on,
just blame the planets.
It's true.
Saturn's like, no, having fun. And especially if it's in Aquarius, the Aquarius is all like, gotta help the world, gotta help everyone, gotta think of everything. It's like no time for fun because there's other people that need help.
Like old ladies all over. Yeah.
Steph just had to play that role. So, yeah, like, Saturn is not so fun.
So, is there any more planets? What about Uranus?
So, Uranus, yeah.
You guys say Uranus. I say Uranus.
Yes. Yeah, but Kelly says it the American way, Uranus.
Yeah, I know, because it sounds funny.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just saying your anus.
Which
doesn't sound as great.
It makes more sense.
I just like the way they say it.
So apparently Uranus rules the sign of Aquarius. So this is where differences come up, because in the old astrology,
we said Saturn.
Yes. So in the old astrology, people didn't count Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto as planet as sign rulers. Yeah.
Oh, poor Pluto. So he's shoved away.
I know. But also Uranus and Neptune.
What else?
So basically, in the old astrology, Saturn ruled Capricorn and Aquarius, because Uranus and Uranus and Pluto, and they didn't rule any signs originally. Okay. So, in the more modern, I don't know when it was changed, but some people still say Saturn rules Aquarius, but a lot of people go with the new ideas that Uranus rules Neptune. Aquarius. And to be honest,
Neptune, don't you mean?
No, Uranus. Oh, okay. So Saturn, to me personally, makes so much more sense that Uranus would rule Aquarius, with the energies that are associated with Uranus and the energies that are associated with Aquarius. Aquarius is not very Saturn. So I know we was using that as an example in your chart of the last thing, but to be honest, it's comfortable-ish with Saturn, but Uranus is way more of an energy match, in my opinion.
Mine doesn't feel comfortable, so I'd go with that.
Yeah,
too.
So if you think of Uranus as the planet of revolution, rebellion, humanitarianism, which is the...
Steph needs to create a revolutionary relationship for her because she's not like a normal person, you know? Like... when you're super unique, I don't know, like you need a different kind of relationship, maybe like a brand new idea of
what, because her big house is in Aquarius. Like the Uranus,
you struggle with it, maybe the reason you don't just jump into relationships because you're looking for something super special. I don't know.
Aquarius is specific. Like if you think of Aquariuses, they are like the oddballs of the zodiac. They are the ones that think differently and they ain't really afraid to be different.
We're in the age of Aquarius now and it's really kicking up shit.
Yeah, that's a whole other subject. Aquarius is rebellious as well, similar to the Saturn energies, I guess. So when I think of Aquarius, they're more rebellious in the activist way, I'm going to fight for the rights of these people, even though, you know, really just fighting fire with fire is not...
Boys song,
then. But it is that energy. I wouldn't be surprised the person who wrote that had a lot of Aquarius in them, because they are like the activists. They are like nine, the energy of nine in numerology, because Keddie knows numerology more. If you think of that sort of energy, that's Aquarius, that's Uranus.
Yeah.
But a bit more, Uranus is a bit more rebellious. It's like, it's more like, I ain't going to do what you tell me to do because I know better,
It's more punk rock.
Yeah, but they are very work, like, I am going to build this from the ground up, whereas a Leo energy would be more like, you're going to give me this because it's what I deserve. See, the reason I bring Leo in is because it's the opposite. So then each sign has its opposite sign, and Leo is the opposite of Aquarius.
Interesting.
So, it rules Aquarius, Uranus. I always think of it like the rebel. It is, if it's in your chart, you know, it is going to wind things up a bit, yeah. You know, it's a bit,
create a bit of
tension,
action,
and yeah, tension, and I ain't doing what you told me to do, you know, naughty kid,
yeah,
at school, not, yeah, like the horrible, like the head teacher, so like Saturn,
yeah,
it's
the good, the one who's going to cause the change,
yeah, exactly, that's it, it's
the catalyst,
with a bit of a rebel there.
Rebel.
So we can then move on to Neptune. Do you like Neptune, guys?
Neptune.
Yeah, that's what I think of Neptune, yeah, too. Dreamy.
Dreamy.
And well, when you say dreamy, there's only one sign, is there, that could possibly be ruled by Neptune?
Pisces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Pisces are the dreamers of the zodiac. Like, oh, they can dream big. They.
Do you mean like in real life? They're like. I remember their dreams.
Yeah, and they daydream, and they have really good connection with the other side. They have the closest connection because they rule the 12th house. And the 12th house is the last house, which is the closest house to spirit. So they often are able to have be very clairvoyant, psychic.
Interesting.
Neptune itself is the planet of dreams, illusions, delusions, spirituality, oneness, and addictions.
Oh.
Addictions. So, you know, you can think of Pisces and you say it like this, oh, it's dreamy. They're the creatives. They're the imaginatives. They're so in their mind. They're just creating.
Can't have the bad stuff, so I need some drugs to.
The downside. Yeah, the downside of the Neptune is it's not even, it's the escapism,
yeah,
so they use things like drugs or other addictions, like sex down, food, any kind of addiction, totally. A Pisces will find one.
That is very 12th house as well, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's escapism. They can't cope, they're so sensitive, you couldn't even imagine, you know, unless you have a lot of Pisces in your chart like I do.
Yeah.
But you know, it's such a sensitive sign. Which is able, I think that it's when you're so sensitive to energies and just the slightest of changes, that's what helps you become more clairvoyant. Well. And that the water signs
are very sensitive.
Yeah, and water signs are very emotional and sensitive, yes, yeah.
Of course.
So, and then we didn't mention that Uranus was ruled by an air sign, which makes total sense because it's like airheady,
yeah,
to, in a way.
Or like Uranus farts. Like, what, yeah, would help you to remember?
If that would help you to remember, actually. Okay, what sign? What element rules Uranus? What does Uranus do? It farts, creating air.
It's an air sign. Yeah,
yeah. Got it. You're welcome for that one, guys. So yeah, like the Neptune with addiction, so then you can see that, like, I always find when I'm doing tarot readings and I use my astrology deck, I always pull Neptune a lot when I'm reading for other people. No, not for myself, but other people. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
And it's you know, it's like, oh god, like, because that comes in and then you're like, well, is this all delusion? Like, are you just living in your delusions here? Often the case. With Neptune, I find that the other negative side effect is that you can believe people, you can be very gullible and quite deluded in your thinking sometimes. You know, they're so far from the real world. Right. If you think like number one is the real world, Aries, first house, yeah, then you go to Pisces, 12th house, it's so far, yeah, gone, yeah, by that point, you know?
Yeah, makes
sense. And then,
interesting,
the last one, which, you know, Steph's got a soft spot for Pluto.
I do. But I think it's like a Greek mythology thing, though.
Explain.
Obviously, they're all...
Yeah, because it comes up linked to big and great.
Yeah, they're all
it?
Like, so
Pluto, didn't someone get named
all the gods and goddesses are like linked up with, I think it's, they're the Roman terms, so the planets are the Roman terms, which is why we name the planets.
They're named after that. Greek gods.
Yeah, yeah, right? So that's Pluto, what I thought. Pluto is a person.
Yeah. It's Hades.
He's, oh, is it?
The underworld. So he is my favourite.
Oh, and
cool. Like, that's why I just have a really.
He would know that Steph likes the dark, the bad guy.
Hades is misunderstood. He is the not a bad guy.
The ruler of the underworld.
She's
the
got some Scorpio somewhere.
The bad guy. Like Pluto's in Scorpio.
You know it. There we are. No wonder. Well, you'll be glad about that, Steph, because guess what rules Pluto? Or what? Guess what Pluto rules? Scorpio. And again, we mentioned that.
I'm so happy about that.
We mentioned earlier that Mars.
Intuitions on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We mentioned earlier that Mars rules Scorpio, but again, we was talking in the old terms. Oh. So originally, people would say when we weren't using Pluto. That Mars rules Scorpio, and I think both Pluto and Mars work as good rulers for Scorpio. To be honest, I think they both work really well, even as a combo more.
Yeah, because Scorpio, not just one thing.
No, because Scorpio has that Mars energy and it has that weird Pluto energy.
They're very combined energies.
Whenever let's talk about Scorpio the Pluto energies. What's your opinion on the Pluto energies? Do you have any already? Because this can be one I often forget.
I don't. I think I've just heard about the main.
I don't really look into it.
You guys are really enlightening me today.
So the Pluto represents, it is the planet of power, transformation, obsession, alchemy, healing, life, and death.
Wow, it's a really cool planet.
It reminds me of the eighth house. Which is Scorpio, yeah.
So is this one not in a house then, if it's after the 12th?
Yeah, so it's in the 8th house of Scorpio. Because remember...
We're not going in that order, we're going in planet
order. Yeah, so we're going in the planet order, not the...
So does it rule any signs?
It rules the 8th house, which is the 8th house is the house of death and sex. You have your north node in the 8th house, Kelly. So I have spoke to you quite a lot about the 8th house. It's the darker house. It's the house of religion and cultism and occultism.
That's 9.
Oh, gosh, is it?
Yeah, 8 is death, taxes, couple money, inheritance.
Oh, and 9 is occultism. Yeah, sorry. Apologies. So the 8th, so Scorpio, I would say obsession really stands out to me with Scorpio and Pluto. I find when Pluto is, you know, aspecting things, it can sometimes bring out those sort of bad traits where you can become overly obsessed with things. It's almost like we was talking about Scorpio earlier, how Scorpio is like that, you're mine.
They're very
obsessive in that way, and it can be in a good way. That's why they can actually use their obsession, like they could be obsessive about a hobby till it becomes a career. You know, so it can be a good thing, like heavy Pluto energies. But you have to be careful of that.
You can use the energies for good or bad, whatever you like.
Yeah, exactly.
Mix it up.
It's very powerful and transformative planet as well. So I would say Scorpio is quite a transformative sign as well.
Hmm.
Because
and maybe the underdog, you know, they tried to say it wasn't a planet. Back with a vengeance.
Yeah, and it's transforming shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pluto would always be a planet in my eyes.
Yeah.
When they did that, I was like, nope.
That's kind of rude.
I find it interesting that it is healing, you know, as well.
Transformative again.
Yeah. It's representing the life and death. So it's like, when.
Cycles.
The cycles, yeah. Interesting.
Transformation. Yeah, that's that. I'm liking finding out about these other planets that I don't really hear much about. I've only spoken to you about Mars and Venus.
Yeah.
And not really much.
Mercury and Sun and Moon.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Cool. So I guess.
Do you want to just go over the houses?
Yeah, we have enough time then, I guess, to go over the houses.
Maybe talk about a little bit about our own charts that we know about.
Yeah. We can go through the houses at the same time of doing the houses, we do the sign that rules the house because they kind of coincide.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Okay, so the first house is the house of Aries. And the first house
is my you. House is up.
Me?
Well, no, they're like the house of you.
Oh, I thought you were saying me, Leanne.
Me. One. Oneness.
Oh, thank you.
The individual.
Like oneness, that's
your
right.
Your appearance, first impressions.
Me, 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 me.
Yeah.
The first house, it rules the body and the
appearance.
And the. No, yeah. Mm. It rules the body, I think.
It's like the head.
And the head, yeah.
So, like, a lot of people who have a lot going on in their first house tend to have, like, distinctive faces.
Mm.
So they're maybe...
Interesting.
They're not necessarily, like, all ridiculously good-looking, but they're striking.
They have strong features, yeah. So it could be strong, like, in good and bad ways. But then it depends on the planet. So if you put Venus in the first house, someone with Venus in the first house is Angelina Jolie. Yeah? Mm. Beautiful face. Yeah. Unbelievably beautiful face. Yeah.
Unique.
But strong beauty.
Yeah.
You know?
Strong features.
So then, you know, whatever, it's going to enhance, whatever planets are going to help enhance in certain ways. You know, like Venus brings beauty.
Yeah.
But it's sort of the physical life in general, I think, of the first house, it's very the physicality. And yeah, like Steph said, who am I? And
quite grounded.
Yeah.
In the physical.
Yeah, it's a fire house as well. So they're very action. So they go out into the world and they lead. Aries lead. First house is
they go into the unknown fearlessly. Like a number one.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking.
And the house in general is like myself. Steph's right. It is me, I, what I do in the world, what I achieve in the world. Not about me and my partnership, not about me and my family. It rules the eyes. Then the second house is ruled by Taurus. And the second house is what I own.
Money, possessions.
Yeah. You have the first house, what I am, second house, what I own. And yeah, Steph's right. It's Taurus stuff.
Taurus stuff.
Money, property.
Yeah.
Things that you go out and earn for yourself. It's not what you gain through inheritance, it's not through being gifted money, is it? It's through what you earn.
Yeah, opposite is the eighth house, which, you know, like
gifted money.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The opposites.
Yeah. So it also rules the voice. So your speech. If a lot of good singers, Ariana Grande has a lot in the second house.
Mm.
I can't remember exactly. I think she might have Mercury in the second house. Rules the voice. Beyonce would likely have something going on in Taurus or the second house. It rules the voice. That's why, depending on the planets, it can help or not help the voice. And that can be through public speaking, singing, music. I always think music when I think of the second house.
It could be anything, communicating anything.
No, it's not really communicating. It's more like
voice stuff.
Yeah, like what you use your voice for. Like literally the physical voice, because it rules the throat.
So it's
just like Aries rules the head.
Singing and public speaking.
Yeah. So then if we were going to move on to the third house, is the house of Gemini, and that's exactly what you're saying, Kelly, communication. The third house is the communication. It also is the house of sibling relationships, not family, sibling. It's the house of courage, yeah? It's like, hey, I'm here. You know, I don't know, it's like that Gemini energy.
Gemini is like that.
They are like that. Yeah. They're like, I'm here.
Quite confident.
I'm cops.
And I want to be social.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
Yeah, they are the big fish in the little pond.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, they are.
So many people hate Geminis.
What?
I love Geminis.
So many
it's like one of my favourite friends to have.
I love Geminis.
Like
too.
Most of my like people I know are Geminis. Like I know more Geminis than I know
anything.
Most of my family
is Gemini.
Yeah, my mum's a Gemini.
Jamina Pearl's a Gemini.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of someone.
And then obviously people have a lot of Gemini within their charts. So even if they're not a Gemini sun, they'll be a very Gemini person
somewhere else.
You know,
in the chart. Yeah, somewhere.
So yeah, I think that's the third house is quite summed up. And then so then we go on to the fourth house, which is
the home.
The home. The home life. The
rules.
It rules the mother. So your relationship with your mother, how you'll be as a mother. That sort of like it's Cancer, the sign of
building.
Cancer. Cancer is like, you know, like think of those crabby claws, like crabbing all around the family and gathering them
four
close to her.
In.
Yeah, the four walls, the in the home, what happens in the home.
The everyday.
Yeah, that those sort of energies. And it is that feminine mothering energy. So then we move on to the fifth house, which is ruled by Leo.
Woo!
It goes without saying, it's the fun house. Like,
yeah.
It's
fun house.
I always sing
a whole lot of fun prizes to be won. What's the right? Oh fuck!
Yeah,
that was such
love
a
that show, Fun House.
Oh my god!
Yeah, so the fifth house is the fun house, the house of recreation, the fun of
freedom,
the house of children,
creativity.
Creativity.
Yeah,
that's why we're all quite creative as Leos.
Yeah, creative. But you know what? You'll be quite surprised that fifth house also rules
the police,
like higher education as well. I know the ninth house is part to do with that, but it's more about that, like not. Like big questions like the ninth house of where do we come from. Leo is more like I went to college and I went to uni and now I have a good job. Like that fifth house is very much about like feeling that royalness of
so
like
annoying.
I'm doing well in life, you know.
Yeah.
I've achieved all the steps, you know. It fifth house is all about those things as
wow.
well. So it is sort of as well as the having fun and
yeah. And it's like it's in the middle of everything, five.
Because it
well.
Rules intelligence and children. So that's the thing, like people think of it, it's not just fun, but it's also like that everyday intelligence.
Yeah.
Sort of. I always think of Leos as such common sense people, you
that's
know?
That's why we boss the
yeah.
crystal maze.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We need common sense for the crystal maze.
That's it. Like they're so intelligent in that kind of way, in that worldly way, you
but
know,
brave, like lions.
Yeah.
Yeah, they might not want to sit and go over like big mathematical or big like life questions, but you know, they like to make their way up in the world and have those luxuries so that they can have fun. Fifth house fun, you
yeah.
know.
Fifth house fun.
Sixth house of Virgo. I won't lie, you know, sixth house. Not my fave.
I have nothing in it.
Virgo house.
Yeah.
And
it's just health.
Like it says
illness.
Here, enemies and worries.
Illness, work.
Illness and health.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like your health issues. If you're going to have a lot of health issues in your life, you'll probably have a lot going on in the sixth house. It rules over health issues and physicality in that way.
Yeah.
Enemies here it says worries. I would say things like compulsive disorders would come under sort of sick house things.
OCD.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I would say. Yeah. Mm. The overthinking the small things. So it's kind of like the small things, and then if you think it's opposite to the 12th house, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
No, 11. No, it's 12.
Yeah. So if it's the opposite to the 12th house, then it's if I'm right on that, I don't know if I am. Then that makes sense, you know, because the 12th house is so like Pisces and dreamy and not in this world, and sixth house is like in this world.
Yeah.
Worries.
Very much the physical.
Health
the
problems.
Lists.
Yes.
Lists of stuff. So Virgo energy, very See, they're very critical, and people can take it like, oh, Virgos are critical of us. But no, they're more critical of themselves than anyone.
Yeah.
So that's what you have
quite
to really have that compassion for Virgos, that we would be freaking lost in this world without them. We need this sixth house. We need these things. It's like a very important part. It's just not the most fun to talk about. So then we move on to the seventh house, which isn't, like, personally, it's my north node's in the seventh house, so I have my own gripes with it. But the seventh house rules your spouse, so marriage, like long-term relationships and long-term partnerships, relationships within things like marriage, but also business partnerships, and it rules our desires. A lot of people say that it rules death more so than the eighth house, but this is, again, up for speculation, so I'm not going to go into that. Let's say it rules marriage.
Yeah. That's all I've ever known
as. Yeah, you can tell kind of how you would deal with marriage via your seventh house placements.
Mm, interesting.
So, you know, if you was to have, say, Cancer in your 12th house, if Cancer ruled your, I mean, sorry, your seventh house, if Cancer ruled your seventh house, you'd be very Cancer in relationships. So you'd be very committed, very loyal, very possessive. So that's what I mean. So it would, whatever sign or planets will fall in the seventh house will control how you respond in relationships. Then the eighth house is longevity, vulnerability. It is sex, right? Eighth house, Steph?
Yeah.
Well, death and sex.
I mean, that sort of more comes under the fifth, sex, but it's definitely, it's like the opposite of one. So it's money, but that you, you know, is inheritance. It's more likely what you're going to receive. So
receiving money from others.
If you've got a lot going on in that house, then, you know, you might find that people give you a lot of gifts, or, you know, you have a big inheritance, or...
Or you just find that, you often... people help you out a lot in life.
Didn't you say that Kylie Jenner had that placement?
She has a placement that basically you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth.
Yeah.
There's a few different placements your planets can be in that will represent these sort of things.
So interesting.
She had something in the second house that represented that. I cannot remember the placement. Okay, so that was ruled by Scorpio, yeah? Seventh house is ruled by Libra, of course. We forgot to mention that. Mm-hmm. And then the eighth house ruled by Scorpio. Yeah. And the ninth house. So this is for higher learning, like we were talking about the intelligence of the fifth house. The ninth house takes it more long. It's like a lifetime of study.
Yeah.
Of like, you don't stop learning. Like, I always think of ninth house as like the Nikola Teslas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the people like that, who they don't stop wanting to learn.
Yeah, like it's faith.
Knowledge sponges.
And it's more along those lines of spirituality, religion. The
Which
big
is,
questions,
you know,
where do we come
constant
from?
Constant learning, because you don't have all the answers.
No.
So you're always spending your entire life seeking.
Yes.
So.
And so it's way less of a, I'm studying to get my way in the world and be of a hierarchy, but it's of... you know, I'm just so fascinated and obsessed with learning.
Yeah.
Good sense.
And then it also, represents like religion. So ninth house people will also find they might have psychic abilities and clairvoyance abilities as well.
You said occult before, didn't you?
Yeah. So they're more along the occult lines of things like rituals, using things like religion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they won't have, they're not as, I always think of it as like the back entrance, you know, whereas the 12th house is the front entrance to the spirit world.
Mm.
Okay, so then the next house would be the 10th house, which is the professional house, you know, the house of your reputation, of your career. Like if it's more like your career than, say, a job. It wouldn't represent like you just working a job.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
It's
what you're known
it's
for.
It's fame.
Yeah. It's like yeah, the big stuff, what you're known for, like, even if you're, like, known for being a
complete dick.
Yeah, grand town, yeah, like, Jim's a dick, you know? But
he's so 10th house.
That would be his 10th house reputation. Something going on in the 10th house. If everyone thought that Jim's a dick, then he's probably got, like, a heavy Mars in the 10th house, like, you know?
Yeah.
10th house also rules the sign Capricorn, is it?
I think so. We haven't touched
yeah, that. Capricorn. Yeah, Capricorn. So, yeah, that kind of makes sense. They're like the
sturdy Capricorn.
Capricorn is the career sign. You know, yeah. they're out here striving to get to the top, you know, striving. 10, yeah, 10 just want to be making their way to the top, you know.
Very career driven.
Yeah, and it can represent fame and stuff as well. So maybe a lot of famous people have a lot of 10th house placements.
Yeah.
Which, do you have any idea what planets they might have in 10th house?
Probably their Jupiter. Mm. Maybe their Sun.
Sun in the 10th house would be really good for fame.
Although that's scary because I've got Sun in 10th.
Because Sun, it illuminates, yeah? So the Sun will illuminate what's happening. So everything will be bigger and brighter and everyone can see. Nothing can be hidden in your 10th house. If your Sun's there, nothing's hiding.
That's nice.
So if you had, say, a planet that wants to hide in your 10th house, it would be very uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean? So say if you had it, who's a sneaky planet? You know, like
Pluto.
Sneaky planet,
yeah.
Sneaky Pluto in there wouldn't be happy sitting next to that Sun.
Yeah.
You know?
Who's a sneaky planet?
It's your reputation, basically. Okay, so the 11th house.
Oh, it's a nice 11th
house is the house of games.
Games.
I always think of it as the house of friends.
Yeah, good spirit, friendship, good life.
That is gains, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like more people in your life.
All the things you gain in life, sort of thing.
Relationships are one of the biggest things.
Not what you own, like second house.
Yeah.
It's what you gain through being in, from being good or like from.
But like gaining is on your part. Just
it's materialistic. Yes.
It is spiritual.
Yeah.
It's
knowledge like you gain, life, friendships knowledge. You gain. Possessions, experiences,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
What else do you have on the 11th house? Because I don't have a lot.
Mine's just like hopes and wishes. It's community.
Hmm.
Good luck.
Yeah, like because
like non-material.
When I think of 11th house, I always think the 11th house person. They have this agenda of doing it. So everything they do, they're doing for the good of for everyone.
Yeah.
So an 11th house always wants to say, even if they was to have like a selfish like planet, maybe a Mars is aggressive, yeah? If you had a Mars in the 11th house, they might be aggressive.
Aggressively fighting for others.
Yes, exactly, yeah? So it's like that, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know, I think you could spot a person who, you know, you
also
find
quite
really, really lovely, but... And you know that they have a ton of friends, but you can't fault them for it because you love them too. They're
yeah.
just so like,
and then
lovely
it's,
people,
you,
such great people. So
exactly. And then it was ruled by Aquarius. That's why you were saying that it sounds very humanitarian.
Yeah.
Because it's, yeah, it is. So then lastly, we have the 12th house. My personal favourite house. It's...
Enlightenment.
It's
death.
Like good. It's dark and light.
Yeah.
Like I'm well. I used to be quite scared of it because you know it's the house of prison.
Yeah, I'm still quite.
You
scared
know, a lot of serial killers have their moon in Pisces or the 12th house. but I love it. It's such an expansive, creative. In my opinion, the most creative house. Because it's the most in imagination.
Yeah,
so you have
the unconscious mind.
The unconscious mind.
Yeah.
Pisces, you're living in their own world.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the most connected. And Pisces people, 12th house people, are the most connected to spirit. So, like, you know, if he was whatever planet you have in a 12th house, it's going to enhance that.
Do you have any planets in a 12th house?
Mercury in Sun in the 12th house. So the Sun illuminates the 12th house.
Do you have your Sun in the 12th house?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Do you have your Sun in the 12th house?
No, I've got my rising in Jupiter.
Ascendant. Your ascendant can't be in. The ascendant's on the line between the 12th and the 1st.
You haven't gotten into ascendants yet, so we're just...
Oh, yeah, we didn't even talk about it. We're not, we won't talk about ascendants. We can, quickly.
Sorry, there's Mars. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Mars and Jupiter.
So with the Sun and Mercury, that would mean that I can communicate messages from spirit through Mercury, communication.
It's because mine's ruled by Libra, so I'm just thinking ascendant is Libra, that's why.
Oh, right. And then with the Sun in 12th, that will... Because also the 12th house is the house of the hidden enemies. Yeah, so I like that my Sun is in the 12th house because it means that I see all my hidden enemies straight away. A lot of people might not, you know. They don't have that. Where the Sun illuminates. So it will also illuminate... all those sort of 12th house things, enlightenment, death, but also what we talked about before with Pisces addiction, you know, you can go down that route. Goes to, in what are those mental hospitals called?
Asylum.
Yeah. Prisons, a lot of Pisces and 12th house people are in prison. Mm-hmm. I think that's where, you know, they can take the imagination too far.
I think that's what happened to me when I first read mine.
Because you've got to watch out here. We've got the old Mars in the 12th house.
Right. Steph. I remember reading that and they were like, oh, but the Jupiter means like... I remember reading it about the Mars. It was on some really horrible website. It's like, oh, because you're quite, you know, your aggression, your Mars aggression is in the 12th house, you have a really high chance of going to prison. And I was like,
why would someone...
Oh, my God. And it's, that is one of my biggest fears.
I couldn't imagine you ever in prison.
I wouldn't survive. Oh. So, like, but it may not be a very long sentence because your Jupiter's there. And I was like,
is your Jupiter in the 12th house?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I always think if I go to prison, I might finally start meditating.
Yeah, right.
Nothing else to do.
Totally. And doing yoga.
Yeah, right. And you don't even have to pay.
It's really interesting that you have the Mars in the 12th house and what was the other one?
Jupiter.
So the Jupiter will be expanding your 12th house thing. So that's good. So expanding your psychic abilities. Very clairvoyant.
You see any positive?
Yeah.
The rest of it's pretty awful.
It would mean like the Mars, you know, you're going to be, you know, you could be aggressive. What sign is it in?
Libra.
Oh, well, there we are. It balances so bad, it all yeah. out. Problem solved. Okay, so that's all of the houses covered, all of the signs covered, and all of the planets have been covered for you guys. But I think we just have to very briefly touch on ascendants because it seems crazy if we don't chuck ascendants in there. So your ascendant sign and your rising sign is not a planet position, but it's like a calculation, right?
Yeah.
Of your chart. And it's basically the start of your chart. The ascendant is where your chart starts, where your first house of Aries begins.
It's what you appear as. So, like, although, like, say if you don't really resonate with your sign, so say, like, you know, I don't know, you are an Aries, but you don't feel like you're very...
Aries, yeah.
Or you come across that way, you need to look at your ascendant sign and you may find that, you know, you're a Pisces or something.
Yeah.
Or a Cancer and you are...
Across like Pisces.
Yeah. But then, you know, that's not really who you are. It's just how you come across when people first meet you.
Yeah, it's like if you think of the ascendant, well, I like to think of the ascendant to understand its placement is it's like the ego, you know, it's what you first see when you first meet someone. And it's sort of like the ego that we, because we all have an ego and it's not who we are. it's like it's attached to us, like almost unwantingly, like unwillingly attached to
us. Like this mask.
And your ego will come out in your ascendant. Yeah. So it's like, you know, if your ascendant is, for example, I use mine and Kelly's rise in Virgo. So you come across as very critical, organized, nitpicky,
perfectionist.
So all these sort of Virgo-y traits, you can, your ego will attach to your ascendant and rising sign for. So, and then using another example, Steph is a Libra. So she, the Libra ascendant, like the ego will like always be drawn to pretty things, or will always want to be the mediator. You know, like they'll get a kick at, you know, like they'll really push those qualities forward, because we all push forward our ascendant qualities. And then I think the sun, it's representing the core of what we came here to be. So we learn through our life to become more of our sun sign, you know. So you really start heavy in that ascendant energy. But I do feel as the years go on, we start to shed that energy a bit more and become more of our sun. Moon signs. I feel like I personally believe the moon holds just as much, if not more, power than the sun. But then this is where I say astrology is also an intuitive media where you can take it how you want and what works for you. Like we say, there's so many different types of charts you can do, and different calculations that can make. So you just play with them all and see what resonates for you. Today we've been using the Western astrology tropical astrology chart, right, Steph?
Sorry,
is it the tropical astrology chart that we were referring to?
Yeah. And so, then side rule is the other one.
Yeah. So there's all different ones, and you can just see what resonates for you. But pretty much all the systems, the planets, the houses, the signs that we mentioned, they all do have the same meanings in all of the different chart forms. So anyways, we really hope you enjoyed this podcast today. Thank you so much for joining us and mumbling our way through the astrology signs and planets.
Maybe next time we do one on astrology, we'll be more, we'll know a lot more.
And yeah, maybe we'll do even more. Maybe we do something fun, like dissect a few birth charts.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, celebrity ones or something fun like that. But again, do find us on the Instagram. It's at the Lioness Podcast. And there you can find us and send us any messages if you have anything you want to say or ideas you have for us. We appreciate you for
any
coming down.
Any celebrities you want us to look at?
Yeah, exactly. Any birth charts you want us to dissect. And let us know your thoughts. But if not, we will be back here again next Tuesday. And thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.